As a result, the alley remained as a kind of abandoned canal, unused, serving as little more than a buffer zone between two rows of houses. Spiders wove their sticky webs in the overgrowth. Why had Kumiko been frequenting such a place? I myself had walked down that alley no more than twice, and Kumiko was afraid of spiders at the best of times. Oh, what the hell, if Kumiko said I should go to the alley and look for the cat, I'd go to the alley and look for the cat. What came later, I could think about later. Walking outside like this was far better than sitting in the house waiting for the phone to ring. The sharp sunshine of early summer dappled the surface of the alley with the hard shadows of the branches that stretched overhead. Without wind to move the branches, the shadows looked like permanent stains destined to remain imprinted on the pavement forever. No sounds of any kind seemed to penetrate this place. I could almost hear the blades of grass breathing in the sunlight. A few small clouds floated in the sky, their shapes clear and precise, like the clouds in medieval engravings. I saw everything with such terrific clarity that my own body felt vague and boundless and flowing and hot. I wore a t-shirt, thin cotton trousers, and tennis shoes. But walking in the summer sun, I could feel a light film of sweat forming under my arms and in the hollow of my chest. The t-shirt and trousers had been packed away in a box, crammed with summer clothing until I pulled them out that morning, the sharp smell of mothballs penetrating my nostrils. The houses that lined the alley fell into two distinct categories, older ones and those built more recently. The newer ones were smaller, with smaller yards to match. Their clothes-drying poles often protruded into the alley, making it necessary for me to thread my way through the occasional screen of towels and sheets and undershirts. Over some back walls came the sound of television sets and flushing toilets and the smell of curry cooking. The older houses, by contrast, gave hardly any sense of life. These were screened off by well-placed shrubs and hedges, between which I caught glimpses of manicured gardens. An old, brown, withered Christmas tree stood in the corner of one garden. Another had become the dumping ground for every toy known to man, the apparent refuse of several childhoods. There were tricycles and hoops and plastic swords and rubber balls and tortoise dolls and little baseball bats. One garden had a basketball ring, and another had fine lawn chairs surrounding a ceramic table. The white chairs were caked in dirt, as if they'd not been used for some months or even years. The tabletop was coated with lavender magnolia petals, beaten down by the rain. I had a clear view of one living room through an aluminum storm door. It had a matching leather sofa and chairs, a large TV, a sideboard, on top of which sat a tropical fish tank and two trophies of some kind, and a decorative floor lamp. The room looked like the set of a TV drama. A huge kennel occupied a large part of another garden, but there was no sign of the dog, and the house door stood open. The screen of the kennel door bulged outward as if someone had been leaning against it for months at a time. The vacant house that Kumiko had told me about lay just beyond the place with the huge kennel. One glance was all I needed to see that it was empty, and had been for some time. It was a newish two-story house, yet its wooden storm shutters showed signs of severe aging, and the railings outside the second-story windows were caked with rust. The house had a cozy little garden in which, sure enough, a stone statue of a bird stood. The statue rested on a base that came to chest height and was surrounded by a thick growth of weeds. Tall fronds of goldenrod were almost touching the bird's feet. The bird, I had no idea what kind of bird it was supposed to be, had its wings open as if it wanted to escape from this unpleasant place as soon as possible. Apart from the statue, the garden had no decorative features. A pile of aging plastic lawn chairs stood against the house, and beside them an azalea bush displayed its bright red blossoms, their color strange and unreal. The rest was weeds. I leaned against the chest-high chain-link fence for a while, contemplating the garden. It should have been a paradise for cats. But there was no sign of cats here now. Perched on the roof's TV aerial,